1, 2, 3, 4.
Where arts and culture summits the airwaves, this is the Nine Rails Arts Podcast. I am R. Brandon Long alongside Todd Obendorfer, and we are the Banyan Collective, arts and adventure podcasting since 2010. This episode includes an interview with Lori Buckley, arts coordinator for Ogden, Utah, our home, and the home of an eclectic untamed history. We also crashed the debrief meeting for Painted Streets, which is the pilot project for the Nine Rails Creative District. And finally, we'll get acquainted with the Monarch Building, the arts nonprofit Ogden First, and we'll properly introduce our Nine Rails Arts podcast house band. Yes, we have a house band. All of this on the first episode of the Nine Rails Arts podcast, where we explore creative place making from the Nine Rails Creative District.
I already am in love with that song. All right, so a little backstory. So we're putting together this podcast, and we need a theme song. We need not just any theme song, of course. We need the perfect theme song. And so only one local band came to mind. There are all sorts of good music out there, but for me, one band came to mind, and I think you would agree with this, and that is The Proper Way, our friends Shane and Scott. And so we got permission to visit their ultra secret, I don't know what it's called. It's sort of a clubhouse secret lair.
Production studio.
Or production studio. I like a clubhouse better, yeah. And not only did they give us the thumbs up, they gave us the idea of a house band.
Which for is a brilliant. Podcast.
Yeah, for a podcast. Mm-hmm. And so they said, I think this is what they said. I think they said, do podcasts have house bands? I said, hells yeah, they do.
They do now. Does,
yeah. Yeah. And so you'll be hearing original ditties from Proper Way kind of each episode. I think that I might latch on to that initial banjo at the opening of each of these.
Yeah, I kind of like the banjo.
I kind of like that so much mm-hmm. too, yeah. But we'll begin to know Proper Way, you know, more and more each episode. But thank you, boys, from the very bottomest of my heart. What's great about a house band as well is occasionally we will be doing live podcasting, and fingers crossed, they will be there as well.
Available to have an actual live right next to us house band.
Okay, I kind of love that.
Yeah. A little bit about ourselves, Todd.
All right, so my name is Todd Obendorfer. I have many hats. I don't even know if I like the term hats, but I guess I do have a lot
of hats.
Do
you wear them ever?
I wear a lot of hats. There's a couple of particular ones. I love my Uinta hat. That's sort of my go-to hat yeah. for. You know, I'll kind of take you through the different things. So you might know me from Slackwater. So we'll kind of start at the bottom and work my way up. I work about once or twice a month wait at a Slackwater.
Slackwater's at the bottom?
Yeah. Well, time-wise.
Oh, okay, yeah.
As far as participation from me. So Uinta hat for that one.
Yes.
One of my favorite breweries as well. Above that would be... My day-to-day job is 9 to 5 at Weber State University, the Department of Visual Art and Design. I am the advisor and outreach manager. As outreach manager, I direct programs like Arts in the Parks, which I did this past summer. One of my other hats, I am a new member of the Ogden City Arts Advisory Committee. You are my liege this year.
That's true.
My place as a co-founder of the Banyan Collective and the time that we've spent with our many, many shows.
Yeah.
And so I do know a thing or two about Ogden City Arts and the arts community that we have. I've also been involved with the Nine Rails Creative District for about 2 years now.
You're on the subcommittee or the committee for
committees, that. Subcommittees, yeah. And then side committees.
Side hustle committees.
Committees. Yes, exactly. It's been very official.
I am R. Brandon Long, currently the chair of the Ogden City Arts Advisory Committee, and I'm not quite sure how I got that position.
Every time I say I'm on the advisory committee, you immediately have to follow it up with, I am the chair.
You know I'm the chair, right?
Okay, thank you. Yeah. We got that.
Yes, where I hold the media arts chair, I guess, as well there. So, and I am the host of the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, where Todd is the co-host, and also the host of Van Sessions, where we podcast live musicians in a van. And in the past, it's been down at Ogden's Union Station, literally down by the railroad tracks during Ogden's First Friday Art Stroll.
We've had a great time with that. That's been going for 3+ years.
I can't believe it's been that long, but yes, about 3 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's the one, that's one area that, I say surprisingly, but more and more people do come up to me and talk about Van Sessions. So
yeah,
that's kind of cool.
I don't know if the van's famous.
I think the van is way more famous than us. Dan Van.
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Dan Van still remains humble though. All right. So let's talk about the Monarch. When it comes to a creative district, the central hub of Ogden's new Nine Rails Creative District is going to be a building that's been called the Monarch, right? And we're going to learn more about the Monarch in future episodes. We're going to do our best to talk to the source as much as possible. I don't want to say that you cannot trust Brandon and I when it comes to these issues, but...
Oh, well, we learned there's a great reason for the name, too, the Monarch.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't want to give away too much because these are all really good stories. The Fisher Group and Thane Fisher, that's his new building, and he will be talking about that in future episodes. But what you do need to know is that is located on 25th and Ogden Avenue. It is above Washington, behind what is now the Bigelow Hotel. It used to be the Ben Lohman parking garage, established in the 1920s, I think late 1920s, early 30s. And this building has been any number of things through the years. For the last many years, it has sat empty, and now it is being completely rehauled. You must see it. You must, you know, kind of experience it to know what we're talking about. This is a massive space.
Yeah, you can take hard hat tours.
Yeah, and I'm sure that we'll be talking about it. In fact, maybe mm-hmm. we'll take you all through a hard hat tour one of these days.
That'd be fun.
We probably should do that. This is going to be a space that's going to be used for the most part, creative endeavors. It will be, you know, it'll include a maker space. In its lower floor, it'll be studio spaces on the main floor, and then upstairs is event space. It's a beautiful building. It has so many things planned for it, and this is essentially the base and headquarters for the new Nine Rails Arts podcast.
And also marketing or helping market the Monarch building is the nonprofit Ogden First.
And that will essentially be the group that we are partnering with right. for this podcast. Really good people. That is the voice for, you know, arts in so many different ways. You might know Ogden First from platforms has been in effect for quite some time. These are those sort of concrete slabs that you see any number of different art projects. And so they will also have an exhibition space in the new Monarch building. And so you will know more about Ogden First, obviously through our show. Or subscribing. They do have a newsletter that we're part of.
Go to the website.
Yeah, and we'll include links for that as well.
So to sort of set the scene for the arts in Ogden, we went to the source. So we spoke with the Ogden City Arts Coordinator, Lori
Buckley.
And my
good friend, our good friend.
Our good friend.
We do run across her on the day, on the daily. And so that seemed like a perfect place for us to start our brand new arts podcast. Someone who gets paid to do this.
To do, right. So here's our interview with the Ogden City Arts Coordinator, Lori Buckley.
So today we are sitting down with, oh, by the way, Lori, welcome to what will probably be the very first episode of the Nine Rails Arts Podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So there's no pressure, but, you know, when we're doing our 300th episode, however many years, or 8 years from now, I guess if you do the math, it'll be something like that, yeah. You can go back and know that you were on the very first, so... today's guest is Lori Buckley. This is one of my favorite people in all of Ogden, particularly in the arts community, but just all together. I don't know what I would have done without you and Joel. Joel's the one that's missing too.
I know, we're missing
two
Joel.
Friends that helped me get through our Weber State degree. So Lori Buckley is the arts coordinator for Ogden City Arts, which seems like a perfect person to talk to for this first, this very first interview. I think the first thing that we can do is let's sort of fill people in on what it is that you do. You started your job however many years ago?
About 3 years ago,
Three years ago?
Yep, coming up.
Did we start about the same time?
You were a little bit after me, okay. But it was...
But I do love that we both started. I started at Weber State, the arts outreach manager there, and you started yours just about that very first time.
We're
so we'll always
over.
Have that.
Yes.
I think we are slowly but surely taking
Wonder
over.
Wonder Twins.
Yes, thank you.
Activate.
So what do you do every day?
Oh, man, the list is long. Really, it's mostly advocating for the arts and supporting arts programming within the city. So
you're pro-art.
I'm very pro art.
Okay, good, good,
yes.
Good. That was like the first question they asked you when you're applying.
Do you like art?
Do you actually like art? Do you know what art is?
And that started a whole other question.
Yeah, you didn't have to define it, did you?
So basically, I help to administer over the public art program within the city, and we have an arts grants program that I run, and so we run the application process, the grading process, and working with the grantees on getting them their funds and collecting final reports and keeping.
So that's the most fun part of the job, right?
Oh yes, okay. Yes. All that paperwork.
Because I can vouch for that as well. Yeah, just when I hear the word grants, I'm just like, ooh,
yeah, yeah,
so exciting.
Yes. Makes your toes curl a little bit.
Yeah, but when you hear you've received one, Todd,
that part's good.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
Part is good. There is a silver lining to that word grant. We have an arts advisory committee, which you both sit on, which is
Todd recently. So welcome,
yes,
Todd.
Yes, welcome.
Once I get the official approval, I'm pending.
Yes,
what's that word?
Pending.
Patent pending.
You guys, that committee actually works really hard on advocating and supporting arts programming, and the committee approves and grades the grants. They approve public art. They're kind of involved and have their finger on a lot of the pulse of what is arts in Ogden, and I am very appreciative that we have such great, fantastic, active members on that committee that helped me.
You're lucky to have us.
Yeah, I'm very lucky
really
to have
no question
you.
About
like,
that. Yeah.
Pat yourselves on the back.
We're highly paid. To be there.
That's clearly what lured me in. Exactly, yeah.
There's quite a bit. My department is arts, culture, and events. And so as a department, we put on Twilight. There's Ashley Bockwalt is the special events coordinator, and she receives... I can't even tell you how many hundreds of year of special event applications that go through Ogden City, any film crew that comes through, anything that's happening, parades, you know, things at parks. She runs through all those and has meetings with the police and fire and who needs to be there and what. It's quite a machine running and keeping things going like that. So we do Twilight. We do all the events at the amphitheater. Derek Williamson is the amphitheater coordinator, and he is fantastic. He does Monday night movies and Tunes at Noon and all the other things that happen he works with.
And this job works for his community service hours that he has to put in each month, too, so that works.
Yes.
I can't defend myself.
He's just out of microphone reach, so I can say whatever I want. I think you're lucky to have Derek.
I am very lucky to have Derek. I love him to pieces.
So sort of in the hierarchy of, you know, Ogden City, and you described it just a little bit, try to kind of take me through that. Like, who are your bosses? Who's above their bosses? Where do you fit in?
So Ogden City Arts is a sub-department or I guess an organization that exists within community and economic development. So the ACE department, which is Arts, Culture, and Events, is directed by Christy McBride, and she is the genius behind a lot of things that have happened around here. Twilight, for one, and everything else. She's amazing at her job and position, and I can't
I
even.
Heard that she's a genius.
Well, you know, I've heard that as well.
Brandon, did you hear
she's
that as well?
Fantastic.
That's the rumor.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And so she sits under Tom Christofilos, and he is the director of community and economic development. And so there are the big directors of the city, and Tom is one of them. And then there's like Parks and Rec, and you know, there's a few other. And I should know these, but I don't. I think there's eight.
I think we need to post this graph.
Yes.
When we post this podcast.
This big chart of everything going, trickling down to me.
No,
way down there, but
being under the economic and development, in other words, Arts are important.
They are.
Yeah.
They are very important to a community. And I think for a healthy and vibrant community, you really need to be focusing on the arts. It's really what makes someplace a really nice place to live.
So is there, this is not a huge town, you know, we're not Salt Lake City, mm-mm, but, you know, you've been in position for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So have you seen the culture change at all in Ogden in the last 3 years as advocating more for the arts, the same for the arts? Where has it come from in this time that you've been here?
I feel like it's definitely growing. I feel like from when I've started to now, you definitely see a lot more. It's definitely more open support. You're seeing a lot more organizations jumping on, a lot more people wanting to join First Friday Art Stroll and be a part of that. When I started, I think we had, I don't want to say 14 places that were participating. Now we're up to like 26.
Which is more than 14.
Which is more than
14.
In the
First Friday Art Stroll.
In the First Friday Art Stroll. And there's so many people, there's so many locations that you can't get through it in one night if you're trying to get to them all, which I think is fantastic. So you kind of have to look and see, pick and choose what you want, you know, choose your route. And I really feel like that's bringing a lot of people up to Ogden. We're having people come up that aren't from Ogden just to see the Art Stroll. I get a lot of phone calls about it, like, when are you putting it up? What's happening? You know, what's coming up for this next stroll? And so it's great. I mean, the community support around the Creative District, around just our most recent project, the Painted Streets Project, was fantastic. We had so many volunteers show up to help us paint the middle, you know, the crosswalks in the middle of the street. And so it just goes to show you, you know, we have a huge support here in Ogden for the arts, and the people love it here. And I think it's really what's making Ogden, you know, it's making Ogden cool.
So there's the community aspect and the support that we get from the community. And then there's the actual city council who, you know, that's where you can take things up through the city and get certain things passed, I guess. So what role does the city actually play in that?
Well, city council actually plays a huge role in what we do because they actually allocate the money for the arts grants program. This year they allocated $90,000, and I think it's supposed to cap at $100,000. So I don't know if it'll jump all the way to $100,000 next year, but that's quite a lot of money that they just pull right out of the budget to support the arts. And as well, everything that we do, any public art runs through them, any new programs, like any new person on the Arts Advisory Committee, all of that stuff that we're doing, they're in support of. And they're actually really, they've been really supportive and good. And I think they can see the value that the arts are adding to this community.
Do you know if other cities or municipalities have reached out to Ogden? Are we to that point yet where we're being seen and some, you know, other municipalities are reaching out saying, hey, what are you guys doing?
Actually, we've had several cities contact us, even out of state, with questions on when we did the master plan for arts and culture. Park City followed suit and are working on one. They're actually, I think, just about done. Jake McIntyre went to work for them as a consultant to help them do that. South Jordan City, a city in Oklahoma.
I think we should just bask in the fact that Park City. I'm excited about all the other locations, but I love that Park City is
reaching out to Ogden.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
I'll take that.
For information on the arts. And their main street is full of galleries.
Yes.
And shops, but I mean, there's a ton of pretty good galleries up there too, so.
Yep, they were super excited about what we're doing and following suit, so.
All right, so let's talk about, you have four more weeks of the Twilight Concert Series, so let's sort of fill people in first of all on how old is the series, what's it entail, you know, who started it, that type of thing.
Why is it better than Salt Lake's?
Or different?
Different.
Different.
Uh-huh.
Different.
So I think Twilight's coming on its fifth year here in Ogden. It's the fourth or fifth, and I'm sorry, I'm not positive on that, but
that would be my thoughts.
But yeah, it was really small first year, but I think we're running on it.
No, I didn't realize it was that old. I thought three or four max, but maybe five,
It might be. I'm sorry, that could be wrong, and I'm sure people are listening and saying.
We'll look it up, we'll go back there, and we'll put in 4 years.
Yeah, voice overlay. 6 years. So, and I really feel like, I think what's special about Ogden's Twilight is that our venue is very conducive to a great show, and we do cap our numbers so that it can't grow bigger than it is. So it's just, it's going to be enjoyable forever. You know, there's not going to be 100,000 people there that you're, you know, and you're 50 feet away from, you know, like 50 football fields away from the stage, exactly, and you can't see.
What's that number you cap at?
We cap at 7,000.
And you've already sold out.
Yes, we sold out the Shins last year, and then we sold out Sylvanesso this year.
Wow, so, that's awesome.
And almost sold out for the Flaming Lips. That was a big show too this year,
that
the first one.
That was insane.
It was a great show.
What the imagery that came out of that and the photography that came out of it was something like from out of this world. What a crazy
that band,
show.
They are performers, that's for sure. It was all pizzazz, sparkle, confetti everywhere, balls. Like, he was out in the audience on a purple unicorn with lights and rainbow wings.
As you do, Brandon.
Every Friday.
Especially you're going to kick off a concert series. You're going to have a purple unicorn.
Derek had a lot of cleanup that night.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we just love confetti, let me tell you.
That's so funny. I'm like adverse. We finished up our Arts in the Parks program, and I'm adverse to even like smaller pieces of paper. And I can clean that up. You're thinking smaller pieces of paper for 7,000 people and little confetti.
Well, everywhere. Yes. It's it's super fun. Let me just tell you.
Everyone had an amazing
time.
So
note to any of the bands playing, please bring as much confetti as possible to Twilight in Ogden.
But if it can be some sort of like micro confetti.
And glitter. Well, all the glitter.
Glitter's super easy to clean up.
Like
that's perfect.
Bird seed or something that just, you know, we can just leave. I don't know.
Okay, so four more Twilights, including one tomorrow.
One is tomorrow. Big Wild and Jay Wolf will be tomorrow. And then August 2nd, we have Broken Social Scene. And then we have two the week of the next week. One on the 7th, that's a Tuesday, and that's Chromeo. And then on the 9th, our last one for the season will be Churches.
Okay, so what, 2 days apart? You just were like,
expanded season.
Okay, what can we do to just like...
I
make this more impossible for Lori. Yeah, exactly. You're like, well, the auditorium is available on the 7th and the 9th.
Yep. Let's book it.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That'll be a long week, but it's, you know, it's
so what was
right,
the story on 10 shows this year? How'd that happen?
Well, so Jared from Alleged,
who we'll have to chat with at some point.
Yes, he helps us book the bands for Twilight. And this year he, you know, June was only 4 weeks. We've been having 5 week Junes, and he really wanted to expand on it. And so that's why there was two seasons. So there was session basically one and session two. So the city, we took over the June session, the Thursdays in June, just like normal. And then he took over the second. So that's basically, we're still running the logistics of everything, the amphitheater and all of that. But he went out and found tons of sponsors and booked a really good lineup. And that's how we ended up with 10. You know, we thought there'd be a few, we didn't know for sure. And Christy came to us and was like, can you do a few extra? And we were like, yeah, we can do a few extra, and it ended up being a lot extra, but it's been great. Like, that we have a lot of people coming from all, we've been checking zip codes, and they're coming from all over, out of state. We have people coming down from Idaho and Wyoming, and lots of people up from Salt Lake. So it's really good for Ogden. It gets people here seeing what we're doing. And, you know, I think that a lot of them are really surprised at how nice it is here.
So Twilight started in Salt Lake.
Yes.
And, at some point, I'm sure there was some discussion with, hey, what are you guys doing? And how can we do that up here in Ogden? And so what's the differences between the two? It's the same name, but it's not run by the same people. Or
completely
anything.
Separate. Yeah. In fact, Salt Lake City Arts Council was running Twilight. And just this year, they've been taken over by Broadway Media Group. And so their Twilight this year is ran by Broadway. And so I think it starts up in late August or September, their season starts.
I'm hearing the ads, so it's soon.
Yeah, it's coming up soon.
But it wasn't going to happen at all.
No, it wasn't.
A little bit later on.
It was actually a done thing. We'd heard that the Arts Council was done running it. They had not made any money, and gotten a little in the red, I think, and so they were done with it, and Broadway Music Media picked it up and are
Which makes for a long Twilight season.
Yes.
So we're all the luckier for it, really, you know?
Yeah. So Ogden's makes money, or there's no problems there.
We're very careful, and we keep things on budget, and so, yeah, we do okay.
Not like Scrooge McDuck money or anything. Yeah.
No, definitely not making money, but, you know, because the ticket prices are low.
Mm-hmm.
And so we, you know, just enough to keep so we can have it again next year.
And that's the goal.
Yes, that's the goal, to keep the ticket prices affordable so our community can enjoy it and we can have people come and visit us and make it a great
And the quality of the musicians and artists who show up is just amazing. So for that price, it's fantastic.
Yeah, the fans have been incredibly
Yes, we're very spoiled.
By your lineup, so yeah.
Yeah, thanks, Jared.
Yeah. Jared says, it's all right. All right, so it's not like you have former Wasted Twilight, and then you just, you know, easily go right into your next projects. I'm sure you're working on future projects while you're finishing up Twilight as well. So what are you working on past Twilight right now?
Right now I'm working on, so we're trying to collect nominations for Mayor's Awards in the Arts.
What's that, Lori?
So it's another fantastic program that we have where the community members can nominate someone, an outstanding person, whether it's an arts educator, a regular visual artist, a performer, an arts advocacy person, someone who's really supportive but actually might
Let's
not be an
advocacy
artist.
Advocacy together.
Advocacy.
Advocacy, Brandon.
I can't do it.
Advocacy.
Advocacy. Advocacy.
Advocacy.
It's one of those words that when you have a few beers, it still sounds the same, like rural.
Rural.
Advocacy.
Advocacy.
It's the same word.
You don't even have to give me any beer. I still can't say it.
So how much longer can we submit nominations for that?
So nominations will be, the deadline is August 24th, and I believe that's a Friday. So Friday by 5 p.m. on August 24th, they are due, and we do need some more nominations. So if you know of someone who is deserving of an award from the mayor, it's a great celebration. We have an evening where there's food and they each receive, the mayor's there and we have music and
a really great host.
Yes, an amazing host, Brandon. Thank you very much.
The same guy again?
I'm hoping so.
Like maybe we should talk about that now.
She hasn't signed the contract I sent over. Yeah. I'm asking for green M&Ms this time. Yeah.
Your contract writer is getting longer and longer.
I know.
And what are the different categories for that?
So there's quite a few. There's youth artist, arts educator, visual artist, performing artist, music, folk art.
Media.
Media arts.
And arts advocacy and lifetime contribution. And I believe that's all of them. We don't always give all of them out. It depends on, you know, the nominations that we get, and they are definitely poured over, and we look really hard at these people because it's quite something to receive one, you know, to be singled out and to be recognized for the work that you're doing. So we're very careful and particular about who we're giving them to. So
somebody made microwave popcorn.
It smells delicious, doesn't it? They need to bring it in here.
That's just me.
That's just your dude.
I'm wearing
flavor
that right now. Yeah, it's very, very good. Yeah. So we have the Mayor Awards for the Arts is coming up. Anything else that we should know about?
Well, we just came out of Painted Streets, too.
Yes. Yeah, we just finished Painted Streets. And, of course, the stroll is an ongoing thing. It happens, you know, every Friday, first Friday of the month, year round. So it's always something to keep on your calendar and watch for. But we're just coming up, like there's quite a few things that maybe aren't really arts related, but things that come out of this department. We have Tunes at Noon on Wednesdays, it's a free concert that's in the park here that you can come listen to while you eat lunch. There's Monday
Night
Movies.
Is it around noon?
It's around noon. Right about that time where your tummy's kind of grumbling.
Tunes at Noon.
Is the food open? Can you get food?
You can
go over there.
Yeah, the taco stands are always open. There's the bistro in the amphitheater is open, usually not at Twilight because it's just there's all the other vendors in there. But like if you come to Monday Night Movies, the bistro's open and you can get food and beer and drinks in there and stuff. So It's really good.
Brandon, we need one of these calendar systems right here.
I like this year. I complimented her on this before and tried to reproduce it where in my office. It is beautiful.
We get a studio set up, and I think we need one of these as well.
Yeah.
I feel that there's things, like, I feel kind of, like, naughty looking at it, too. Like, there's things on here that are like, what shouldn't I see on here? But yeah. I'm, like, pouring over it
look
just to
away,
kind of see
look
what's
away.
Coming up.
I mean, you can see I'm a little behind on adding this stuff in, but... It's Twilight's kind of.
It's been an impressive year so far, though.
Yeah, we've been.
She did make the choice to go horizontal with it instead of vertical, which is interesting.
Probably good without a ladder. That works better.
Yeah. I don't want to be laying on the floor writing.
Instead of going January and then February is underneath it, February is to the right of January. So these are the choices when putting together calendars that you have to think about.
Important. So I'm going to put you on the spotlight just a little bit.
Okay.
So. We are artists as well as the other things that we do. So how are you able to, and I know the answer to this because we've talked about it. So how are you able to balance your own personal art practice along with your daily sort of, you know, 9 to 5 with Ogden City Arts? Like I said, I think I know the answer to this, but this is a good question for the listeners.
I gotta be honest with you. It is definitely a struggle. It really is. I had... like delusions of grandeur that I could work a full-time job, and this job is full-time and then some, and still like have creative energy to come home after work and work on paintings or anything. And so honestly, I have to, like, what I have to do is get someone to assign me something, so I have to do it. So I'm building some small pieces because Wasatch Roasting Company asked me to be in, you know, they're highlighted artists for First Friday Art.
Deadlines help.
So deadlines help. Deadlines really help, because if you don't have it, you tend to go home and your brain's really tired. And I think about this, and I'm working after hours and posting. And so it's just so much.
Family, it's nice to see them.
Yes. So, yeah, it is a struggle. And that's the only downfall, I think, about this. I love this position, but it does kind of...
That would be with any job, though. It's not even just like this particular. It's any job that takes energy, as it should, and time, more importantly. And then you go home, and then it's like, okay, house chores, family. Yeah.
Laundry, you got to mow the lawn. You got to figure out what's for dinner.
And how do I get into that creative space?
Yeah.
And create work.
Yeah, and you get in your studio. Like, I have a studio in my basement, and I'll go down there and tinker around and stare at my blank canvas and go...
But I think holding each other accountable is good. Brandon and I have to do that, you know, constantly, because all the podcasting we do is on top of everything else that we do. Yeah. And so having the deadlines between the two of us definitely helps. I think you and I, Lori, have talked about doing that, and that's definitely something we can do. And I think that, you know, that there's probably more out there in the exact same situation as us, you know,
we
kind of need to hold each other accountable. You know, and plus just getting together, it's a constant source of inspiration.
Instead of book club, we need to have art club, so that we have to say, okay, you have to work on something, and we're going to meet and look at it and talk about it.
I think there's something to be said for art club.
Yeah. Art club,
We might have to start something new.
Let's do.
That is actually not a bad idea at all.
We just can't talk about it.
And then the night before, don't talk about
it. Art club.
First rule, don't talk about art club. And the night before, we'll be in panic mode, like putting something on, just like at book club. You're like, I didn't read the book. Like,
yeah, you can't fake art club.
Because you clearly can't do a week's worth in one evening. Yeah. Just a little bit every night.
Yes.
And then at the end of the week, we kind of see what the other person
has
done. I like
that. We come with a new podcast.
I think it's actually not a bad idea.
You have to listen to that at the art club.
Art club.
Yeah, art club.
Yep. There we go.
Sweet.
See, look what we've done.
As if we don't have enough to do. Yeah.
No. Yeah, I know. Just tack it on. Well, just add it to my list
of
things.
I think the personal practice on top of everything. I think that we're all very lucky to be working in the arts.
Yes.
I say that to every... I was talking to a new potential student today out of high school, and... giving him the full spiel and the full pitch as far as what he has ahead of him. And for the most part, incredibly exciting, right? But at the same time, choosing a career in arts and humanities is not going to be a straight line. You know, there might be that one or two that is able to go straight from here to there, but for the most part, it is going to be a winding path, ups, downs, otherwise.
It is, but I feel like anymore now, you actually can get a degree in the arts and have a career and do something.
Yeah.
And which I think before, and I think that's why it's such this like taboo, like they're like, oh, you're getting an art degree? Like, what are you going to, you know, be the, you know, what are you going to do with that? Nothing. But now there are so many creative positions and businesses are looking for creatives because that's kind of where business is going and how things are, that I feel like it's so much easier to talk to people and be like, follow your dreams. If you are a creative person and it is something that you love, go into it and you will find work. You can find work in it.
You know, one of the biggest pieces of advice that I give, and what's so nice is that I can keep them local as well, is to be as involved as they possibly can, right?
Yes.
For the students to reach outside of their bubble, to be involved as much as they can on a local level. You know, Salt Lake is where, I'll be honest, you know, there's a lot of go-to places there, but I like that I can say that Ogden has more and more and more. And in fact, not only do they have more and more, but as a young artist, now is a really good time to get on the sort of the ground floor
yes.
of a lot of things that are being developed right now.
Gotta network yourself. And if you're out there, you're gonna find those opportunities. If you're hiding away in your studio and not, you're not going to. It just is.
You can't just go to class and go home.
No, you can't. You have to attend things. And that's one of the biggest things they say for visual artists. If you want your art in that gallery, you have to go to the gallery, attend their openings, talk to the gallerist, see that, you know, so they see you all the time. It isn't just like,
if the gallerist loves cats, you're going to put a cat in one of your paintings.
That's exactly it.
It's the little things, but you have to know those things. Yeah.
If you didn't go, you wouldn't know.
Exactly.
I just realized why you have so many cats in all the work that you do.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Yes. One of these days, it's going to work out for me. Yeah.
Well, we have about 2 minutes left here. Lori, who or what other cities do you look at from your position, because Ogden's doing some awesome things and it's fun to take some ideas from other towns that maybe have done some, been successful in the arts in other places.
I am a big I look outside of Utah a lot because I feel like I don't want to copy what's happening within the state, because I want it to be different and cool and exciting here. So I do, there's a place called Deep Ellum, Texas, that has a huge art scene, and they have a big mural program, and it's just fantastic down there. Austin, Texas, of course, if you've ever been there and understand. Bend, Oregon, you know, like, I just love little things like Freak Alley in Boise, Idaho. These little pockets of just really cool, unique things that, you know, Ogden's very unique, and we are building ourselves up as that art place, that art town that people will come to visit because of that. And I'm very proud to say that, you know, we're well on our way to do that. And I think it's going to be great. Just keep getting better and better.
Well, we appreciate everything you do. We will continue working with you on a daily basis, which
I'm
it feels
so
like
glad.
It is sometimes. Yeah. So we can't get away from you, even if we tried. So thank you so much for taking some time. This will probably not be the last time we chat with you.
Well, thank you for having me. I really enjoyed myself.
Thanks for taking some time with us. Last month, June of 2018, Ogden City Arts hosted the Painted Streets Mural Project in the new Nine Rails Creative District. In addition to the artists and their assistants, the community was invited to participate in painting the murals. Following a series of public submissions, advisory committee scorings, it was very official, and public voting, the selected designs were completed via a public call for participation. Roger Whiting, an artist, I believe he's out of Salt Lake City, provided the winning first mural for the center lane heading up the hill from Washington Boulevard to Adams Avenue. Amy Hodges's, I feel so bad
Hodges,
about it.
Hodges? Hodges? Say it fast, Todd.
I just know Amy.
We
Amy,
know her as Amy.
I should
Amy.
Have texted yeah. you. I apologize for butchering your name. Anyway, her mural was chosen for the four crosswalks of the 25th and Adams Crossing. Community organizations and members of the public participated in what we called the paint party to facilitate the community murals in a series of paint-by-number paint sessions.
Well, you were involved big time.
I was involved on the daily
yeah.
as much as possible. There was certainly more people than me. I think we had a total of about 200 volunteers for this. It was a massive project. Massive thank you to the incredible volunteers who made this project happen. Additional thanks to the project sponsors, the National Endowment for the Arts, Ogden City Arts, Ogden Downtown Alliance, Weber County Creative Alliance, Artists Magnus Enterprises, Union Creative Agency, Admiral Beverage, Target, and Lowe's. If you haven't seen the murals yet,
murals. Yeah. Murals is a great Again, word. That's like rural. You can say it after a few beers. It sounds the same.
Oh my gosh. Murals. That's exactly what you always say. make sure and check them out. They're at the crosswalks at 25th and Adams and the center lane on 25th between Washington and Adams. Anyway, we were able to sneak a microphone into the Painted Streets debriefing and got a peek into the planning and execution of a public arts project.
I'd like to hear from Scott first, to tell you the truth.
I would agree.
Because being the project manager and all.
Being there dawn to dusk.
Well, I wasn't, though. I mean, you saved me a lot, and you did a lot of stuff with volunteers that was technically in my contract, so... You know, thank you for that. I did other stuff that wasn't, but whatever. No, I think you guys were awesome. And, you know, it wasn't going to come off as well as it did without, you know, you guys putting in the time you did and being committed and, you know, braving the sun and everything else. And Jake, I didn't know you were so good with kids. So that's a good thing to see now that you're a dad. I mean, yeah, I was like, okay, he's going to be all right. When, you know, I thought it was a pretty cool project. I feel like I over-engineered a couple things and under-engineered a couple things.
What do you think you under-engineered?
That's a good question. See, you'd think I would have thought of all this since I knew today was coming. The volunteer management of it, we ended up with way more than I had thought we were going to.
Which is pretty incredible. I'd rather go that way than the other
Yeah,
way.
But I just don't know that I felt like... So, okay, so absolutely, if I were to do this again at this scale, two of each shift in team leaders. And yes, we really needed two of each, I think. Two in the tent and two on the streets, minimum. Because there were times like Susan, all she was doing was wrapping and unwrapping.
Almost well.
You know, paintbrushes and stuff. So, you know, thinking that two in one was gonna do it, I don't think it did. I think we needed more. So, that's the biggest thing. Other stuff like setup and takedown took way less time than I thought it would. I also think once we got in the habit of not having volunteers scheduled for the same time that the first shift, you know, that made things better too. So that was always in the back of my head, but using SignUp Genius, it was just easier to do a whole block. And then I didn't think to go back in and delete those. So not having volunteers at 8:30 in the morning would have been it. Although we always had volunteers at 8:30 in the morning. So I'm not sure about that.
So I do have a question for you guys, especially those of you that are artists. One of the things that I've noticed just as somebody that walks around in Ogden is that the center lane is way less visible as a pedestrian than I expected it would be. I think you see it pretty well from a car. And as a pedestrian, you at least see some of the color that maybe makes you want to walk up the hill. But I was a little surprised how hard it was to see the actual design just as a pedestrian. And I'm curious what, especially those of you who are artists, think about that and if there's ways around that.
For me, the benefit, I completely agree with you on that. I think that the crosswalk was way more successful as far as visibility goes. I think the middle of the street crosswalks, the occasional of those, you know, over the course of what's the proper word for that? You know, guys, what I'm talking about. But I think that would work very well. I think as far as some of the aerial shots of the middle lane, that was worth it to me, you know, especially in front of that new Monarch building. But I do agree with you. I think that the visibility from the lower part was a little bit less than what I was expecting. I think in my head, it's a little bit more steep than it actually is.
I was surprised how dirty it all got so fast and muted down, and like
on Visible. I mean, it's still there and it's better than nothing, but it isn't as vibrant as when it was perfect.
Just wait till they trench it.
I would say to the visibility thing that the impact of the center lane, while I still think it's worth it, largely because of the engagement and the photos that we got out of it, physically, I don't think the impact is now what I hoped it would be. And I think part of that is because the scale got cut back so far, the ratio of what's painted to what's not painted on the street. And the distance between the two, I mean, they're just very disconnected and they're actually pretty small when it looks at the overall scale. And then I think the other is looking at the design. And if we would have had a bigger design that was bigger blocks of simple color, I think it would show up a little bit more, but that design's fairly complex. And so at that scale, the colors just start to muddy. And it, you know, from a distance just starts to look like these kind of generic blocks of color. But I think bigger blocks of color over bigger surface area would have been more impactful, but still.
On the plus side, everybody who stays at the Bigelow Hotel is going to look out their window. Not every room, but I mean, a lot of the rooms are going to look down and see that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, from a bang for your buck standpoint for the next year, we may be revisiting all of this, right?
So we actually had one suggestion. I got some great feedback from one of our traffic engineers who said that he thought it turned out really well and that the designs look sharp. I think we executed at a higher level than they were maybe expecting. Yay! That was like the highest praise we could have gotten for this project.
Yeah, but, low expectations.
But he actually suggests, he said, well, I'm kind of curious now what you guys might be able to do on a sidewalk now that we've seen the paint and we feel like it's grippy enough, it's not going to cause a slip hazard. And I think that could be really cool, whether you're painting color blocks on parts of the sidewalk where the park strip normally would be, like that north side of 25th Street that doesn't have a park strip, but it has that really wide sidewalk. Maybe you could do a painted park strip, or he even said maybe you could do something that kind of meanders down the sidewalk or up the hill. And I think that could be a lot more visible to people.
Yeah.
Well, I want to make sure and ask why the whole gang is here, sort of everybody's overall impression and what they've heard from the community, because, you know, we've put in a little time between the project and today. So if we could kind of go around the group, you know, what have you heard? What do you think?
I told Sarah before we started the whole formal aspect that my kids, we drove past it today and they're like, when did this get done? I said, the day we left. And they're like, that's not fair. We wanted to come help. So, and then the two that didn't get to come help were sad that they weren't able to participate. And so at least for my family, I really enjoyed it. My kids were excited to be part of it. And, They would love to have something else. As far as volunteers who came, there were a couple of groups who were like, we want to do only this for now on. When are you going to do another one? And so a lot of people who participated were really excited about it, really enjoyed what they were doing, and the overall turnout. Like I said, the one woman I spoke to, she's like, oh, I knew that was happening. I just didn't realize it was that, you know. And so she's excited that it's there. And you know, so I think overall everything I've heard has been positive.
My kids also are just so excited that they got to participate and love the aerial shots of it. I think there's many more families that would want to participate. So figuring out how we can reach out to them, perhaps if we do it after the Ogden Arts Festival, so we could have a booth and show pictures of what had happened. And in order to show people and tell them this is happening next week or next month and give them a date and information right there. So figuring out how we can reach the community, which it's impossible, but yeah.
I think the disconnect in the beginning as far as getting volunteers and stuff was because it was advertised with a graphic that didn't really explain what was going on. So then people were hyped and excited once we started putting things out on social media, and then people, you know, wanted to be involved. And so I think now that we have some good elements to use for the future, that's going to help. From an internal perspective, I appreciate as far as project managing that everybody was willing to just embrace the change. You know, that first day, we're coming too fast, we're finishing, we got to start calling volunteers and canceling, you know, but nobody freaked out about it. Everybody maintained. And I think that's a testament to the people who were involved was willing to to make some of those changes, along with the same thing Shelley said. I think moving forward, you're not going to have any problems with volunteers because everybody wanted to be involved, and I don't think anybody was mad that they couldn't be involved. And then knowing we can do things, you know, moving forward. But I think it's a true envious position we're in that we created something, it came out great, and people want to be a part of it moving forward. So.
And people did a lot more work. I'm not good at math, but there was a lot of math in figuring this all out. But basically, people did a lot more work, and it went faster than I had really figured in terms of, like, person hours. People were laying down between 90 and 100 square feet an hour. And we... Nowhere had, in my research, had we seen any kind of production like that. I don't even know how well it was quantified, but based on what other people had told me, you know, I was thinking more like 40. And that's a huge difference, and it explains why I was freaked out at the beginning about not having enough people to paint, and then we were ending up canceling shifts. Yeah, except I hated telling people they couldn't do it. I mean, there are many people who had signed up and that was the only opportunity they had to help, and they were bummed. And so I don't know how we work around that in the future. You know, in retrospect, finishing Section 1B as quickly as we did worked out because of the weather, because it could have been a real problem had we still been painting on Saturday and then it rained the way it did on Sunday. We could have had, you know, watercolor drips all the way down 25th. Although the paint also dried way faster than they. I mean, we were supposed to have an hour between coats, and you know, it was basically drying as you put it down on 125, 150 degree asphalt. So that kind of stuff will vary as the weather varies if we do other projects. But
so as one of the artists, yeah, what I saw,
a little round of applause for one of the artists.
Yeah.
It was fun to be a part, and I was really excited for my design to be chosen. But I felt like I wasn't there a lot, but I was there sporadically here and there, and I felt that when I was there, it was really organized. The supplies were organized. There were people. I was disappointed, like the volunteers were either like too many or too little, or, you know, and it wasn't really about, it was just about flow, and you can't help if 10 people sign up and then none. It would be nice if there was music to keep it vibrant, even when there was only a couple people, to make it a little more fun. Everyone that I know that,
party.
Yeah, we want a party.
That's how it was built, right? A painting.
And everyone I know that saw them thought it was awesome and really loved the idea and wished they would have been a part. But if you weren't in our circle of people that saw the Facebook, you didn't see it. So it would have been nice to, I don't know, you know, how to reach out better, but maybe we could have reached out better because I know now a lot of people would like to participate in the future.
All right, that's a wrap for the first episode of the Nine Rails Arts Podcast, produced by the Banyan Collective, arts and adventure podcasting since 2010. Follow the Nine Rails Arts Podcast on Facebook and also on Instagram at the number 9. It's 9Rails, where you can search the Banyan Collective on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify to listen to the Ogden Outdoor Adventure Show, the Literally Podcast, which explores the lives of authors and the writing and publishing process, along with Mr. Goodyear's Neighborhood and Van Sessions, where we podcast live musicians in a van. And with each Nine Rails podcast, we'll leave you with a little something from the Van Sessions archives. It's only appropriate for this first episode that we play a song from our Nine Rails podcast house band, The Proper Way.
I love the sound of that.
And this is as recorded live during the 2016 Arts Festival. We have someone who wants to say a little something. Oh, maybe the mayor of Ogden, Mike Caldwell. He's got a question for the Proper Way.
That guy cuts me off everywhere I play.
He tried to keep you in check over here. Yeah.
Is this request time?
Absolutely.
That's what we're doing. This is the extended version. This is they only play this next song for mayors, apparently.
That's right. Yeah, is that true?
Yeah.
Well, what's the song? I haven't heard of it before. It doesn't play for me anymore.
You can't afford me anymore, man.
Totally true. Totally true. What's that Avett Brothers song?
Oh, the one that makes you cry?
Yeah, the one that makes me cry. I'll sit over here in the shade and cry.
Is it January Wedding?
No, it's Murder in the City.
Murder in the City.
So this is one of those, I don't know this song?
You'll be able to follow along.
But this is what we do.
This is the amazing part about Scott Rogers. Having never played this song with me, watch what the hell happens. This is pretty cool. This is why I love playing with Scott. This one's going out to Mayor Caldwell.
If I get murdered in the city, don't go revenging in my name. One person dead from such is plenty, no need to go get locked away. When I leave your arms, the things that I think of, no need to get over alarm. I'm coming home. I wonder which brother is better, which one our parents love the most. I shorted getting lots of trouble, seem to let the other go. A tear fell from my father's eyes. I wondered what my dad would say. He said, I love you and I'm proud of you both in so many different ways. I get murdered in the city, go read the letter in my desk. Don't bother with all my belongings, but pay attention to the list. Make sure my daughter knows I loved her. Make sure her brother knows the same. Always remember, there's nothing worth sharing like the love that let us share our name. Always remember, there's nothing worth sharing like the love that let us share our name.
Nice, the proper way. Proper way, live on Van Sessions. Nope, never played that together before. That was the first time.